Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Now, clearly, amongst the list of stressful activities that exist in life, maybe parenting is well up there in terms of the kind of messages that can actually occur, particularly new parenting. And especially if over the last 12 months or so, there's been a new arrival in the household. We've already had this with respect to, obviously, Paul Powers, who literally his wife gave birth about 8 days ago to a new baby, etc. And over 500,000 babies apparently were born in the United Kingdom in 2020, with the majority of new parents admitting that the experience has been harder due to lockdown restrictions. Now, to talk about that, we're delighted to welcome a well-known parenting expert and indeed a top popular childcare author who specializes in the psychology and science of parenting. It's the wonderful Sarah Ockwell-Smith. How are you, Sarah?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for inviting me on.
Marvellous. Now, as I say, we know with respect to contributors to this very programme that we've had new births that have been taking place in that, and they seem to be coping okay. But having said that, the last 12 months have been, and I hesitate to use the word, unprecedented in terms of obviously seeking support from extended family members and so on, I would have thought.
Yeah, so I mean, my job is I work with parents all day, every day, but particularly with new parents, so those with newborns or babies or pregnant. And I've been hearing over the last year sort of various accounts of struggles that people have been having, not just those who had a baby during lockdown, but those who had them at the very end of 2019 or the very beginning of 2020. So they went into lockdown with a newborn, and just sort of listening to their stories. And then a couple of weeks ago, Perrigo, who's the parent company for BioOil, contacted me and said, oh, we'd like to do a campaign to help new parents. And I said, you know, amazing. This is so needed. I'm hearing all of these stories. What I did was posted on one of my social media channels and just posted a question that said, if you've had a baby since March 2020, do you think lockdown has made it harder? And 85% of people who answered, and I had over 1,000 people reply to me, 85% of them said, yes, it's been hard. And I had so many messages of people saying, oh, thank you so much for asking. It's been so hard. And we don't feel that people are sort of acknowledging what a different and tricky experience it has been for us. So working with Perrigo, with BioWall, just to try and say to those parents, you know, we see you, we recognize what you've been through and how difficult it is and what an amazing job you've been doing. But we'd really like to just acknowledge you and help you a little bit as well.
There's one really important aspect that I think you make in terms of tips and advice, that it's all very well saying that your baby may have just been born, but of course you've just been born as a parent as well. It's new for both parties, really.
Yeah, so much. And we're going through, well, the parents have gone through it without that, the family support they may have had. And I know not all families have family support, and there are some single parent families, there's all different types of families. But I think the one thing that all families are lacking is they haven't been able to make new parent friends, which is so important. When you have a baby and you would ordinarily go to an antenatal class or a baby class in person and actually meet these people, the people you meet in these groups become such a vital and integral part to your identity as a new parent. And obviously that hasn't happened. There haven't been in-person antenatal classes or baby groups or going and weighing your baby every week like most of us have experienced in a normal year, for want of a better word to say it. And I think it's not just the lack of the family support, it's the lack of the peer support that's made such a tremendous difference. And obviously they've met people online, but for some people they've been speaking to parents online that they've never met for a year. And it's that lack of the village in person for the parents, I think, that's had the biggest impact.
Let's consider some of those top five tips. In fact, let's look at all of the top five tips that you put forward. And let's start off with what I think is very important. It's at number five, although, again, it could be even higher, I would have thought. A realistic self-care. This importance of actually reframing the notion of self-care to self-kindness.
Yeah, when you're a new parent, everybody talks to you about self-care. And we do know that when parents take care of their own needs physically and emotionally, then the babies are also physically and emotionally healthier. But the trouble is, going through lockdown and having a new baby and everything else that you've been experiencing, and then thinking, oh gosh, I've got to find time to have a candlelit bath or something else like that, it's just not realistic. And I think for new parents, the idea of self-care can actually be quite stressful for them, because they're like, you know, I didn't even have time to eat my dinner today and you want me to have a massage or something. So it's about reframing it and saying, actually, self-kindness or self-compassion, which is just allow yourself your failures, allow yourself your mistakes, be kind to yourself, recognize that, as you said, these are unprecedented times we're going through, but being just kind to yourself, and then also grabbing any little moments that you can make more mindful. So one of the tips I talk about, rather than that hour-long candlelit bath, grab a shower when you've just fed your baby and they've got 10 minutes when they're napping, have a shower, and then when you get out, this is when I was working with bio, or they've got a new formulation, sort of vegan and natural oil that they can use, rub it on your if you're a mum, on your stretch marks, on your c-section line, or for dads, then use some other Perrigo products for dry skin. But just spending 30 seconds or a minute when you're rubbing that oil in, just close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and just remind yourself and just say, I'm a good parent. These are unprecedented times. I'm doing a good job. And just do some breathing. And that 30 seconds, 60 seconds, just that quick snatched minute of time every day actually makes a really big difference when it adds up every day. It's not about trying to grab an hour at once. It's about adding those little blocks of 1 minute up every day.
Focusing on the importance of self-care, of course, it's important not to actually beat oneself up, presumably. And if you actually are expected to say, right, well, obviously in Hollywood, they have children, and then they're back to immediate sort of responses straight away. That's not realistic. And maybe you also need to avoid the notion of suddenly going into a starvation diet to actually work through the process.
Yeah, so what I'm noticing over the last sort of couple of weeks or months, since we announced sort of the roadmap to the end of lockdown, you're seeing more and more articles saying, oh, did you eat too much banana bread? Here's a diet so you can be buff by the summer or have your beach body. And they can be really, really damaging for everybody. But for new parents, it adds that extra pressure. And I really, everybody has a beach body. They're just bodies that we use on the beach. But you have better things to worry about right now. If you want to lose weight and get fit, or, you know, do some exercise for you, that's amazing. Do it for you because it makes you feel better. If you're cool as you are, then just embrace yourself as you are. You know, there really should not be any pressure from yourself to try and change things. Just embrace who you are. You know, as you said at the beginning, you've just been born as a parent as well as born as a baby. We don't want to start worrying about bodies right now. Just be kind to your body in the shape and style that it is.
Which very much ties in with the whole notion of, again, accepting oneself for all one's joys, fallibles, and indeed challenges from that point of view. It's also worth noting, of course, Sarah, that support is, of course, still available if people do feel they need help with postnatal services and so on.
Yeah, so your things like, you know, if you've got feeding issues with your baby, ordinarily you pop into your weekly health visitor or weighing clinic, which may not be happening in person, but, you know, these people are still contactable over the phone. You have lactation consultants who are doing virtual services and consults if you have issues with feeding, not just breastfeeding, but with bottle feeding too. So the services are still there. They just look a little bit different. But I think it's important as parents that they don't think, oh gosh, all the support has gone away. It is still there. You know, your GP, absolutely, you can still ring them and request to see them, or your health visitor as well. So don't think, oh, I must just sit in my home. The support is still there. It just looks a bit different.
Further information presumably can be accessed from Bio Oil UK. If you type that into your search engine, you presumably will find out details about this discussion.
Absolutely. So all information about Bio Oil, you will find them onto their website. If you want some more sort of gentle parenting or sort of trusting your instincts information, you can pop over to my website, which is sarahockwell-smith.com.
Fantastic stuff, Sarah. It's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self today. Huge thanks. Be well, be happy. Parenting expert Sarah Ockwell-Smith. And keep on keeping on.
Thanks for having me on.
It was once said that you should never put off till tomorrow what you can postpone indefinitely. Possibly that's the mantra for procrastination. And indeed, many of us actually do go down a procrastinating line when it comes to spring cleaning, when it comes to general checking, and indeed basic things such as sorting out garden maintenance, checking the windows, cleaning the oven and so on. It's just one of those things, basically. But to address the key issue of this, and also why it's so important to ensure that your gas appliances are also checked, we've got a terrific trio of fabulous individuals joining us now. First of all, to actually explain explain maybe why we like to procrastinate. It's a welcome back to the programme for our ace media behavioural psychologist extraordinaire, the wonderful Emma Kenny. How are you, Emma?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Excellent. We also have from, of course, the wonderful world of Gas Safe, the Gas Safe Register, Gas Services Director, Bob Kerr. How are you, Bob?
I'm fine, Alex. Good to be here.
And the awesomely talented individual who basically, if cleanliness is next to godliness, then clearly she's reached Mount Olympus already. It's Aggie McKenzie. How are you, Aggie?
I'm very well. Thank you, Alex.
Excellent. Let's turn to you first, Emma, because this notion of putting things off, I mean, you know, we can't all be kind of folk who basically say, oh, well, I'll let the servants do that. We'll have sort of assistants do that whole thing. But cleaning the windows, I mean, were you surprised by any of these findings? Or is it a case of, well, that's what we are. I know it's spring. We're supposed to be spring cleaning, but we just can't be bothered.
No, I wasn't surprised because I think that a lot of people have got lockdown lethargy. So everyone's overwhelmed and exhausted after the past 12 months. And 68% of people said that they are just putting off those tedious tasks. So very honest about it, but that shows that most of us are struggling to do the micro detail tasks that actually, if we get them done, make our life a lot easier. So I was actually surprised by the fact that a lot of people don't know about having your gas appliances checked, because I have them done every single year. I was just saying before that I actually have had my gas fire turned off till it gets sorted, because I didn't realize there was a problem with it. But when they came around and did the check, there was a problem with it. I would not know that unless I was having them checked. But I really appreciate that a lot of people don't know that you're meant to do that on a yearly basis. And I also know that people are so overwhelmed by the last 12 months that they're exhausted. They just want to get back to normal. They don't want to think about those tiny tedious tasks, but those tiny tedious tasks can have massive implications. And in this case, it's about the protection of your family. So I'm really behind this campaign on the basis that firstly, it's just something I do as second nature. But secondly, I know after this year, it's quite hard for people to get on top of their life admin. But when you do that, your well-being, your happiness index increases, and you'll just feel that sense of peace that you've got all those procrastinated tasks complete.
So, Bob, from your own point of view, I mean, clearly Emma's put together a quite righteous and important sort of rationale in terms of why we should get it checked. From your own perspective, you know, that annual check, it really should be automatic, really, I would have thought, and yet we still don't do it.
Yes, it's quite right, Alex, and Emma described it exceptionally well. So all gas appliances have to have a regular check. It's recommended by manufacturers at least once a year. And that's to make sure they're operating safely. Not doing so could lead to safety issues. So it's important it's done on a regular basis. But also it could be a decrease in efficiency of that appliance. So that's an even more important reason to get it checked once a year.
And of course, you also need to have a proper gas safe engineer to actually look after the whole thing. Otherwise, you could have all sorts of possible potential difficulties as well.
Of course, exactly. And a gas safe registered engineer is someone who is qualified and trained and competent in order to carry out the work in people's homes.
Okay. Emma talked about the lockdown there, lockdown fatigue and so on. Aggie, it is the spring, so you might say, well, it's obviously ideal to start spring cleaning. The name's in the season. But what's your own sort of thoughts in terms of actually motivating folk to actually say, okay, it's time to start work?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, during lockdown, we've had all this time, and often, you know, the more time we have available, the less we get done. And all of a sudden we're sort of coming, you know, lockdown end looks in sight. And we're thinking, oh my goodness me, actually all these things that I meant to do haven't done, including, you know, things that you have to kind of do in your home, like clearing the gutters and sorting out the oven and also checking on the gas appliances. And so it's important that before we go off out to, you know, sea and mates and planning holidays and all the rest of it, we do the things that we don't really want to do, which is including things like getting your gas appliances checked. And it's a great time to do it, because in springtime, that's when the engineers are less busy, and they're more available to be able to come and get your appliances sorted. And it's good to know that you have peace of mind with the Gas Safe Register, because all the engineers are absolutely qualified and they know all about COVID safe regulations. So you know that the person that's coming into your house to do this job exactly knows what they're doing, and then you can remain safe in every sense of the word. So I'm just saying that, you know, why leave Why leave this sort of thing, which is really, really important? You don't want to end up with carbon monoxide poisoning or fires or even, you know, in the worst scenario, an explosion. It's kind of, it's one of those things that you know you need to get done, but actually do you get done? And this is the time to do it, absolutely time to do it.
So we've clearly got the dream team here with Emma and her psychological motivation. We got Bob from the professional expertise, etc. But still sticking with yourself, Aggie, is it a case of you make lots of lists? Do you coordinate things? Do you actually sort of run it like a military campaign? What's the best way in which we actually get through these household tasks?
Well, actually, make a list is the best way, isn't it? Women love lists, and I love a list as well. And also, you have to make it achievable. And this is totally achievable. So don't make your list so long that you feel overwhelmed. You say, oh, I don't even know where to start. Be realistic and check things off and do the things that you have to do before you do the things that you want to do. That's a really a clear message of mine. And it's not difficult. All you have to do is, you know, look up gassaferegister.co.uk or call 0800 408 5500. That's all you need to do in this case and get it done. Get it out of the way. Then you'll have peace of mind for a whole year.
365 days. Bob, returning to yourself, I've got to ask the question. What are you worst at? Garden maintenance, cleaning the windows, sorting out the oven? Or is it just a case of, I can't do those kind of things. I'm too busy checking out gas appliances.
Well, my worst at? I'm actually worst at cleaning the oven.
Everyone's worst at cleaning the oven.
Yeah, I mean, Aggie, what is that sort of message to cleaning the oven? I mean, is it just a case of
the thing about cleaning the oven is, you, like my mother used to do, you have to clean it the minute you use it. But actually, who wants to do that? You know, you've got your roast out, the walls are all splattered with grease, you've already got a glass in your hand, you don't want to be getting your rubber glass on, which is why you know, you allow it to build up. And by the time it's really grotty, you just don't want to go near it. So it's you have to kind of be in the mood for an oven cleaning session and just get a scraper out. Forget all the hotions and potions. Get a DIY scraper out and just have the oven on for, say, about 5 or 10 minutes. Turn it off so it's warm. And wet the bottom of the oven and just go at it with a scraper. You can use that on the glass as well. It won't scratch your oven glass. And also leave the sides, because they are, you know, don't touch the sides of the oven because you'll damage those. Oh, and oven racks. I've got a really good tip for oven racks. So forget all being up to your elbows in soap suds. Get some very fine sandpaper and take it backwards and forwards across the oven racks, and it's a really good way of getting all the greasy marks off those. So there you are, that's my top tip for ovens.
Clearly, once again, Aggie, you sort of delivered in such a way that if you ever went into politics, Nicola Sturgeon would be panicking. She'd be running for the hills.
Yeah,
no chance whatsoever on that basis. But it finally, Emma, in terms of that notion of feeling good and maintaining sort of a good, calm sort of systems, etc., is it a case of, we talked about making lists, obviously checking gas appliances, working through those processes, etc., is that the best way to actually ensure that actually, yeah, ultimately the dividends, the payoffs are worth the initial sort of hassles and challenges?
There is no better payoff in life than knowing that the people that we love and the people that mean most to us in our world are protected. And that's what you're doing when you're ticking something like this off your list. And the other thing I'd say is, as we move forward back to normal, I think everybody needs to set themselves a few goals, taking a few risks. It's time that we started to build our resilience and confidence again. So get all of those things checked off in the house, get your gas safety sorted, but then get yourself out there, do something scary, and put yourself back in the driving seat, because you've been out of it for a long time. And that'll really help to stop you feeling overwhelmed and also make you feel good about the future.
Splendid. Well, gassaferegister.co.uk presumably is the go-to website to actually find out further details, Bob.
Yes, that's quite right. And there's lots of other hints and tips on there to keep yourself and your family safe.
A genuine sort of three musketeers of wonderment and terrific trio of champions with the contributions today. Huge thanks to Emma Kenny, media behavioural psychologist extraordinaire, Bob Kerr, of course, gas services director for Gas Safe Register, and of course the awesome Aggie McKenzie. Yes, how clean is your house? I know it can set up panic in so many minds when that very sort of question comes through. How clean is your house? Many thanks indeed. Take care and be well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
been hearing symphonies. Before all I heard was silence, a rhapsody for you and me. And every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along. Then you came and you cut me loose. Was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find the key without you. And now your song is on repeat. And I'm dancing on to your heartbeat. And when you're gone, I'm feeling complete. So if you want the truth, I just wanna be part of your symphony.
Ever onwards to maintaining our motivation and ensuring that energy is actually up to spec and so on, especially when it comes to smart meters. And indeed, our ace regular go-to correspondent when it comes to smart meters has to be the awesomely talented Rob Cheesewright. Welcome back, Rob. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. What an intro. I don't normally get that. That's brilliant.
Oh, it's very important. I mean, but then, as if the bar wasn't already set high enough on that stage, we've raised it even higher to actually welcome Mr. Motivator MBE himself, the awesome Derek Evans. How are you, Derek?
The awesome, the fabulous, the good-looking, the brilliant, the vain, everything. I'm too fabulous for words.
Absolutely. Mr. Motivator in full force here and clearly getting us fit as a nation for energy resource and aspect, and the energy fit for the future world. So share with us, Mr. Motivator, why is it so important to get fit for energy in the world today?
Oh, you know what? All around us, our technology is changing. Every single day, there's something new that comes out, right? Whether it's a new phone, a new iPad, a new car, a new something electrical. In fact, you almost don't even have to leave your bed. It's all electrical around you. You can say, you know, do this, and it does it. So we've got to recognize, right, that's how technology is evolving. And the one thing that controls all these gadgets, all these devices, is our energy system. And guess what? Most of us have not upgraded, and we've got to get you upgraded, because that is the only way to help Britain to get energy fit for the future, by getting a smart meter and by being clever.
And looking at, indeed, the research from Smart Energy GB, half of adults claim they get frustrated when using slow or dated electrical appliances. Over half believe it's important to have the most energy efficient gadgets possible. So are we seeing movements, Rob, in terms of the right direction, in terms of obviously going for smart meters and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last year has been really powerful because this year we've got COP26 coming up and there's lots of international summits around the environment. But I think the thing about lockdown and the COVID crisis, it's made us much more passionate about our environment, much more aware of how connected we all are. And I think that has had an effect. And even during the lockdown, we were able to keep installing smart meters using COVID safe measures and distancing and PPE. So I think it's been a powerful year for lots of us for thinking about the planet. And as you said, I think we all know that we want efficient stuff. 51% said they want the energy that they buy to be clean and green. 47% in the future know and expect that they'll be driving an electric car. And as Mr. Motivator said, all of that works if you've got an energy system that's up to date and fit for that. And that's the whole point of smart meters. If we can integrate all of that new tech into an energy system that can run that efficiently, that means more often than not, we're using green, cheap energy and less dirty carbon emitting energy. And that means, cheaper bills for all of us, but also a planet that we can all live in and healthier lives. So that's what we're for. And I think most people get it, actually. And I think particularly over the last year or two, people really, really are starting to feel it.
22.2 million smart meters have already been installed across Britain. Mr. Motivator, what made you go green and actually go for that smart energy thing? Oh, have you always been green? Is it kind of a ridiculous question?
You know what? I'm always looking to the future. I remember my very first job when I left school was working for the East Midlands Gas Board in an office of 500 people. The computer room down below took up about 500 feet. That's how big it was, right, to actually handle things. And I used to deal with customer complaints. And so the customers used to rip out the old gas meter, bring it in and plonk it on my desk saying it's leaking, it's registering wrong, you got to do something about it. That is what I used to do. And then, when I got into fitness, initially I was wearing plimsolls. And guess what? I had shin splints, I had ankle problems and stuff like that. What happened was, when you upgraded to the new technology and bought new trainers and stuff like that, my performance improved. There was less impact on my body. And that's why at age 68, I'm still here looking so good. So therefore, we've all got to embrace new technology. We've got to get upgraded. After all, we are a nation of upgraders. We're always looking out for something new. We all want to do it. So why not do something where you can sit in your sofa and just press a button and automatically you can get upgraded. There you go.
And clearly looking at the Energy Fit for the Future campaign, I see, Mr. Motivator, you've got an interesting squad together with Nicola Adams, Greg Rutherford, of course, Kelly Smith. Clearly you are the number one because you are Mr. Motivator, without whom they just go to sort of shreds in all sorts of ways, really. So in terms of that lineup, would you say pretty awesome, really? Obviously proving we're in the right message here.
Well, they're awesome people in their own right. They're sportsmen who have actually got to the top of their game. But I felt like a daddy on the day I actually put them through some challenges. I felt like they were my children. And when we gave Rutherford, right, a penny farthing, he struggled riding around the track. Nicola, we gave her a tennis racket, a wooden tennis racket. Her performance was terrible. And then Kelly Smith, we gave her the old hickory golf clubs. She couldn't even hit it straight. But the thing is, once we gave them the latest technology, their performance improved, they felt better, and they felt so wonderful to be able to succeed at this new level. So what's it all about? Everybody needs to think about helping Britain to get fit, energy fit for the future by getting a smart meter. That's the message, clear and simple.
And Rob, clearly from the perspective of Smart Energy GP, that's very much the case, but I've got to ask the question, Rob. What has Mr. Motivator challenged yourself to do?
He had me sitting up straight. My posture is terrible. So he's had me sitting up straight, pushing my shoulders back, clenching my thighs in and making sure that I'm not being quite such a slob, frankly. Luckily, he didn't put me through what we tortured poor Greg, Nicola and Kelly with this, getting them to use outdated equipment. And as Mr. Motivator said, it was really funny. They struggled. Greg was only just managed to stay on the bike. And they're competitive guys as well. So it's hard for them. So it's been a really great, fun campaign, enjoyable, but with a serious message too, that, clearly even the best athletes, the most competitive athletes struggle unless you give them the most up-to-date equipment. Sure. And our energy system's the same.
But Alex, he missed out the one thing I got him doing, which you should do, Alex, which is imagine there's an orange between your shoulder blades right now. And I want you to gently squeeze out the juice of that orange with your shoulder blades. So you're squeezing, yeah? What happens to your posture? All of a sudden, you're looking straight ahead. You're no longer looking down towards the floor. You feel better. The world looks better. Isn't that a great way?
It's fair to say, Mr. Motivator, I've always said that the world needs more thigh clenchers. And I'm pleased to see that that was being addressed in a way that I can now share with my students and various other aspects. Rob, where would you point people to find out more details about these challenges and indeed how we can get energy fit for the future with Smart Energy GB?
So the first thing to do is to pick up the phone or go online and get your smart meter from your energy supplier, your normal energy supplier. If you want to find out more about all of that and see the brilliant video of Mr. Motivator gently torturing some stars, then go to smartenergygb.org.
Yes, for their own good, Rob. I mean, let's face it, Derek Distance just randomly sort of say, I'm going to torture people in a Machiavellian sense here. In truth, it's for their own goods that they learn how to actually crush oranges with their shoulder blades and indeed thigh clench. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they loved it too. It was good fun.
So final sort of questions in terms of the two awesome individuals we've got today. Mr. Motivator, first of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Well, you know, it's been fun being with you. I mean, it's quite interesting because I meet so many people on my journey. And I think it's always important, right, to actually get some positive messages across to listeners, because at the end of the day, listeners are what it's all about. And more people are listening to radio than ever. And I just say to people this, you know, you're not given a good or bad life. You're given one life. And it's up to you to make it good or bad. That means you need to make some sensible choices. You need to look after yourself. You need to treat yourself as if you're the most important person in the world. And that means looking after that God-given body you've been given. And never take your health for granted. Never take nothing for granted. In fact, just keep on being active. Choose something you enjoy doing and do it with a smile on your face. And if it's not fun, don't do it. Change. Find the right thing. Motivator will do.
Absolutely. This is the key thing. So I take it then you will return in the not too distant future.
The moment you will have me on, I'll be here, because I know Alex is the man. And in fact, anywhere I can be on a platform and talk to people about wellness, getting smart, looking after yourself, I'll be there.
And Rob Cheesewright, have we lived up to the usual standards of Cheesewright input on the program for yourself? Has it been good to you?
I mean, I loved it, and I always love working with you. I mean, the only difficult is it's hard to follow Mr. Motivator. It's the impossible job.
If it was too easy, we wouldn't have that sort of energy gel at the end. You've got to have those challenges there. That's the key thing. Otherwise, how are we going to reach those systems of crushing those oranges? It's very important. You're squeezing the juice every second. Mr. Motivator, MBE, and Rob Cheesewright from Smart Energy GB, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on and be well.
Thank you.
Be well, Alex. All the best to you, all right? Have a great day.
follow me. It's not the future that I can see, it's just my fantasy.
Kind to each other. That was the big message that came across from the whole notion of Lost Horizon. And indeed, being kind is something which is innately human. Or is it? Because we see that in terms of surveys, 78% of British folk have said they've become more kinder and more compassionate over the last year. But is this something which we learn? Do we learn to be kind? Do we actually sort of, are we innately kind? What's the kind of notion with respect to this? Especially when you look at the views of Disney and so on. Well, to actually talk us through this whole notion of kindness being a priority and how we can actually work in a post-pandemic world which has more kindness in it, we're delighted to welcome that awesomely talented child psychologist extraordinaire. It's the wonderful Laverne Antrobus. How are you, Laverne?
I'm very well. Good morning.
Good. So let's get straight to the question, basically. Is kindness something which it's nature versus nurture? It's neither, it's both. It's a combination of all sorts of things. Where do you sit on this one, Laverne?
Wow, well, that's a powerful question to start with. And I think it's a combination of things. I think what this research by Disney Princesses is all reminding us of is that kindness is a central part, a central quality that parents value and that actually children also are saying they value. You know, over two-thirds of UK children, you know, in this survey have agreed that, you know, treating each other with kindness is one of the most important ways to behave. So that's what's really helpful about the research, that children are also seeing this as being at the heart of the experiences that they want to be on the receiving end of. I mean, who doesn't want to be treated with kindness, but also recognizing something about kind acts and kind words that they might be able to, you know, be involved in with other people. So there's a real value that's placed on kindness.
Sometimes in the crazy world in which we live over the centuries, we might forget some of the intrinsic importances of being human, etc. But the importance of role models perhaps can never be underestimated. And is it true to say, Laverne, that actually this is one of the areas where Disney can score really highly because it does provide those positive images that people can encounter whilst they're actually growing up? And whether it's a case of you remember your first Disney movie, in my case it was The Jungle Book and Baloo the Bear, but you've got that sense of kindness that you've actually got to ensure that things are effectively set, not in stone, but they actually help us on the journey of life.
I think that's absolutely right. I think you've really sort of welded those sort of feelings together quite beautifully. You know, what Disney are doing is they're launching Tales of Courage and Kindness with Disney characters that many of us know and love, you know, princesses and queens, and there'll be generations, actually, of parents out there who will really be familiar with Disney and children, their own children who are watching. And what we know from this research is that parents are saying, you know, they go to trusted characters in order to be able to really sort of embed some of these principles with their children. So they're going to Disney Princess and Queens to help teach their children the importance of kindness and courage. You know, and this is where we get to really build the sort of quality of the values that parents have for these qualities, but the lessons that children learn. So there'll be families out there who really be able to take advantage of these 14 stories to sit together and really sort of, for parents, reminisce a little bit, and for children to be able to delight in what they see on the screen.
Historically, of course, we can look at the likes of Aesop's Fables and many other sort of writers. I mean, C.S. Lewis, of course, Narnia in the 20th century, the likes of J.R.R. Tolkien, J.M. Barrie. Fantasy and embedding positive values and indeed aspects of kindness have always been a part of our kind of culture. Do you think it's essential that they remain so? And do you think that actually, even though the media has actually changed, and we're now talking obviously multifaceted channels, social media and so on, it's still important that we have those roots, those sort of embedded in the kind of experiences that our children have?
I think that's right. I think that you need that wonderful mix, don't you, of what we've experienced in the last year, where, you know, parents are saying, you know, 78% of parents are saying that they've noticed their children are much more compassionate and kind. And actually, we have all been noticing and hearing about acts of kindness. But having the sort of bedrock of those sort of stories and images that we see on screen that really consolidate, you know, these ideas about courage and kindness being central to us as individuals, as human beings. So I think, you know, what you're saying about this wonderful mix is really important. We can't lose sight of the fact that actually children do watch television, do watch screens, and Disney is saying, let's capitalize on that. Let's put together these 14 never before told stories with their favorite characters in a digital storybook that they can sort of come to in their own time with their parents and really start to think about the centrality of courage and kindness.
The top 10 values shared by Disney princesses, of course, self-confidence, honesty, courage, trying your best, never giving up, being caring, bravery, believing in yourself, being a good friend, and of course, kindness, as we're discussing today, basically very much at the heart of the whole system. Do you have a favourite Disney princess character yourself, Laverne?
So funny that you should say that. I was thinking, who would I choose? I mean, I suppose having watched Disney with my children, you know, I don't know if I have a favourite, but I suppose some of the characters that have really been quite courageous, where their kindness has really sort of shone through, you know, taken a risk to do something to help somebody else, have always been the ones that have been the major pull to me and my children when we were watching. So to have this opportunity for the next generation, my children are now young adults, but to have this for the next generation who can really, you know, take this in and experience it in the same way as we did as a family feels very exciting.
Indeed. I'm still having to get my head around, though, would there be a princess? I suppose there would be the princess right at the very end of the Jungle Book, but that's a different line entirely. I'll just have to work that in my own time, Laverne, clearly, and then just work through that challenge. I mean, I also have a fondness for, I suppose, Amy Adams' incarnation in Enchanted. I think that was a wonderful sort of example of kindness at work, but so it goes. Where can people go to find out further details about the Disney campaign and indeed more things?
So this is Disney, you know, launching these tales of courage and kindness, and you can read the full storybook collection by going to the website disneyprincessstories.co.uk. That's disneyprincessstories.co.uk.
Certainly worth noting, as I say, some of the storybooks, whether it's Jasmine's storybook, Ariel's storybook, or indeed Mulan's storybook, etc. Lots of wonderful case studies there in terms of how people actually coped, proving that maybe it's right to actually have an optimistic viewpoint on life in general.
Of the water, long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I wish I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water no matter how hard I try. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know where I cannot. The wind.
savage, and you've been so many places, I guess it must be so. But still I cannot see if the savage one is me. How can there be so much that you don't know? You don't know. You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon, or ask the grinning bobcat why he grinned? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Of the earth, come roll in all the riches all around you, and for once never wonder what they're worth. The rainstorm and the river are my brothers, the heron and the otter are my friends.